to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
He started here. He is here. No one knows New York better. Geraldo. 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Billy Joel running on ice. My pal Donald Trump will be running on ice. He's announcing his run for the White House at 11 o'clock this morning. We'll carry it live. Be advised, you mock him at your peril. This guy's for real. He's smart. He's sharp. He gets things done. He can virtually self-finance. You hear he's worth $9 billion?
Wow.
$9 billion. That's $9,000 million. I mean, you could tip someone $1 million. You'd never notice it.
Right.
The interest would make up before you finished your meal. Anyway, he will easily be in the top tier of candidates for the great debates. Remember that only the top 10 polling nationally will be invited to the Fox debate, which is the first one in August, and the CNN debate, same rules. So if you don't poll in the top 10, then you get to the children's table. You're in the top 10, you're at the grown-ups table, you debate. And I tell you, I believe that when you start talking about the decaying infrastructure in this country, when you start talking about waffling foreign affairs, I think that Donald Trump gets things done. And I think that when you compare him to so many of these policies, like Marco Rubio, a top-tier candidate, what has he ever done in his life? He's 43 years old. Has he ever built anything? Ted Cruz, what have they done? Remember Wallman Skating Rink. Small example, big impact. The West Side. He took a crashed up, junked up Riverside neighborhood and made it a shining example of towers. The golf course in the Bronx that was this garbage dump for 20-odd years. He gets things done. I mean, all those bridges falling down, all those highways. I think that Trump will definitely be much more formidable than all the mocking, usually hard left people who have hair worse than his. He's for real, so obviously he's Jeb Bush. And I want to discuss the former Florida governor who I believe is more appealing to Latinos, going back to Marco Rubio. I don't mean to pick on Marco Rubio, but I think Jeb Bush is more appealing to most certainly to Puerto Ricans. I mean, one thing, the Cubans, I think Puerto Ricans are different. I think there are more Puerto Ricans in Florida now than there are Cubans. I think the Cubans tend to go Republican. The Puerto Ricans tend to go Democrat. But the Puerto Ricans would be attracted, I believe, to the message of Jeb Bush. Certainly, the Mexican Americans will be attracted to Jeb Bush, whose wife is born in Mexico, Columba. And his son, George P. Bush, is the land commissioner in Texas, absolutely, aside from being a gorgeous heartthrob, totally bilingual. I think Jeb Bush is the man to beat, but I think Trump will make some waves today. I want to talk about that. I want to talk about politics. I'll take your call. I see they're already coming in at 866-Geraldo. I like that. I want to talk about that fake black lady. And shouldn't Governor Cuomo be embarrassed about grandstanding at the scene of the Great Escape? I mean, you don't crawl through the hole and you promise all the resources of the Empire State devoted to nabbing these people. I thought he was going to bring him in himself, cuff him himself. Nothing going to happen. Don't you agree? I mean, you can't make an issue of something like that without producing some results.
I think he thought 24 hours they would have these guys cuffed and nabbed away. When you watch that video now of him walking through the escape route,
really?
It just looks kind of comical.
Hey, it's going to be, and they're going to play it. It's going to be in a loop. Hey, Ferris from Connecticut, 866 Geraldo, what's up?
Hey, Geraldo, it's been too long, bro.
I'm right, bro. What's up? What are you thinking about?
Well, it's not what I think. I won't waste your time with that. I'll only tell you what I know. Donald Trump is unstoppable. Donald Trump will be on the ticket with Carly Fiorina. Donald Trump is a patriot. Donald Trump was born on Flag Day. Okay, Donald Trump flew his flag at the former Margaret Meriwether Post Estate in Florida, and they fined him for every day he flew his flag because it was too big. Donald Trump is the man I love. Donald Trump will allow Carly Fiorina to take the be on top.
Okay? All right, it's not a bad ticket. Okay,
not a bad ticket.
Hey, no, it's a powerful business ticket. Hi, John in Cliffside Park. What are you thinking about?
Hey, Geraldo. First of all, it's an honor to speak with you.
How nice of you. Thank you.
My question is this. I'm really excited about Trump running. I think he would be an excellent president. But in your opinion, do you think he'd be able to withstand, like, all the joking around, like Saturday Night Live?
I don't know. Mocking is the cruelest tool there is. I mean, the one thing I can't stand in my life, I could take criticism. I could take physical assaults.
Right.
I could take everything, everything. But mocking is very difficult. You've got to be very thick-skinned. And the question is, will he be thick-skinned enough to deal with it? Because once you get past the jokes, I mean, what's the joke? The joke is the hair joke, right? So once you withstand that, how many times can you tell the hair joke? Until you start listening to the guy who, remember, has $9 billion, can virtually self-finance. How many times can you mock him when he's coming down with, here's my plan for the highways. Here's my plan for the inner city. Here's my plan for race relations. Here's, you know, at a certain point, you look kind of thin if all you have is mockery, but he has to have a thick skin to stand the first wave because they're going to be coming for him. There's no doubt about it.
I think he can handle it, Geraldo, and I think he'll have the comebacks for it. And, you know, like, I mean, he's a tough guy. When you insult him, you're going to get it back. But I'm talking about people. That, in other words, people's perception of him based on the media and everything that's going to be coming at him.
They will be coming at him, but I think you're very wise, John. Thank you for calling. Will people perceive him for long as the punchline? Why is it that Trump rates? He rates no matter what show he's on, he rates. There is an appeal that he has to the common person that is very hard to define. But what I can tell you for sure is that anytime he's on my show, he gives me a 15% bump in the ratings. Every time, and that happens with any show he's on. Any show, whether it's a political show, a reality show. Why is that? You can't say that about virtually any other candidate. I mean, if Marco Rubio is on a show, you're going to be more eager to watch it? Who would you watch on a show, Marco Rubio or Donald Trump?
No, Donald Trump.
No brainer. Rich in White Plains, what do you think about Rich?
Yeah, I got an answer for you, Geraldo. I mean, you get a bump because Donald speaks passionately, and it's very hard to get any politicians to go out on a limb and really, speak with some enthusiasm. But unfortunately, it stops with substance. He keeps saying the same thing, and juxtapose Carly Fiorina, who I saw on Fox recently, and she is incredibly informed as opposed to Donald, who just speaks in generalities every time I see him on Fox.
Well, I mean, I understand that Carly Fiorina, first of all, has run for public office far more often. Didn't she run for, what, Senate in
California?
She lost. And then didn't she get fired from her job, too? Wasn't it she a computer? Look it up. I think that Carly Fiorina sounds great, and she could help neutralize the powerful women's effect that Hillary Clinton will bring to the table. I swear to God, I think that I've never seen my wife or her family or many other of the women in and around my life more excited about a political candidate than Hillary Clinton. I think that Carly Fiorina will blunt that somewhat. She's much more serious a candidate than Sarah Palin, for example. But I think that that Trump will make a big splash, and he will be in the top tier of candidates. You know, it's funny, I commuted in today from the west side of the Hudson, from Edgewater under the bridge there. I was on Bell, and, you know, 7 in the morning, the big river flat, the wind still, the sky gray, drizzling. It was drizzling this morning. Is it going to rain today?
Oh, this afternoon, yeah.
So I'm going to be going home in a thunderstorm.
Well, not until late this afternoon. You should be all right.
So I was thinking, what is the top story? And I do think that Donald Trump's announcement will be very, very dramatic. But before I take the first break, and I'll come back to politics, and I really want to get to that whole crazy story of the fake black lady, the NAACP black lady. But my daughter Simone is at Northwestern. We have Julie, the intern
yep.
from Northwestern. So Simone is going off to junior year abroad. She's going to Paris. How wonderful! But you know, you send and I, her sister Isabella was off in Berlin in Germany. You send them off. And your heart is in your throat.
Oh, yeah.
Because you worry so much. You're so excited for them, but you worry so much about them. And then they come home and they've got all these exciting adventures and the world is expanded. But just think of what happened at Berkeley University yesterday with that collapse of the balcony. All these kids sent off to college by their parents in Ireland to go to the University of California in Berkeley. I feel like crying even talking about it. Then the damn balcony collapsing, and 5 killed. I mean, all of them Irish. I just want to send my sincere condolences out to all of their families and to Ireland itself. I feel for you so deeply. It's just a horrible, horrible thing. I'm so sorry for your loss and the way it happened. I mean, kids just having a good time. In college, and the damn balcony collapsing, and just a horrible, horrible scene. All right, so I didn't mean to bum you out. I just want to send that this. It was deeply affecting to me as the parent of college-age kids who do travel. Okay, so I'm going to come back to Trump, come back to politics, come back to all that is happening. I want to give you my hearty preliminary endorsement of Jeb Bush. I don't mean endorsement. I just think that he is a powerful candidate and probably the Republican best suited to defeat Hillary Clinton. But I am very excited about Donald Trump. I think that he will bring a breath of fresh air to this process. And who knows, stranger things have happened. 18 minutes after 10 o'clock, don't touch that dial. Listen to 77 WABC. All about Donald Trump, the Trumpster, making a big move today in 35 minutes. And Mr. Layton, we're carrying it live, are we not?
We are right at 11 o'clock.
Right at 11. Don't touch that dial. From Edgewater, Barry's on the line. Hey, Barry. What's up?
Hi, Geraldo. How are you?
All right, neighbor. What's doing?
Well, you know, like you, I'm from Brooklyn originally, and I'm about the same age, and I guess we've both grown up in the city. And I've moved around the country and come back about 20-some-odd years ago. But we all know what Trump is about, okay? Is this the man that you want running this country? Or, Geraldo, is this the man you want to get ratings for your show? So I'm a little upset with you because I'm a pretty regular listener, and I considered you fair and objective, and you do attack both sides of the issue, but this is ridiculous, okay? So we have Trump on one side, and our other options and that are probably electable are either Bush or Clinton. This is what the problem is with the country. This is what we're left with. We either have Bush or Clinton, or we have Donald Trump or Ted Cruz. Where are the young people who are educated enough to run this country? I mean,
everything you said is very fair, Barry, and you seem a thoughtful person, and I appreciate that. But let me ask you something.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you have the slightest bit of admiration for Trump, who is on the balls of his behind at
right,
a certain point in his career?
And how many times now has $9 billion bankrupt? And how many times does he try to hide that? He's not a truthful player. He's a businessman. He's rough and tumble. He's a bully. He's a blusterer. Okay. But the problem he's going to have, Geraldo, is when they come to investigate and do all the background. That's where he's going to jump off.
You don't think that he's thought that through? Hold it. You don't think that Trump has thought through that they're going to go through everything
right
that he ever did with the fine-tooth comb?
I'll bet you today that he winds up at some point jumping off and not going through it, okay? Because that's not who he is. He's looking for ratings. He's looking to get himself in front of the camera. And you know this as well, if not better
than I. I don't know anything. I don't know. All I know is that I was up close and personal with Donald. I've known him for, as you know, decades.
Yes.
But this experience with Celebrity Apprentice showed me his family. He's got the most legit
wonderful
family
and
you'd ever think of.
He's a great businessman, and we all know what he's done with
I'm not talking about his business acumen right there. I was just talking about him as just a mensch, as a person who raised great children, who are raising great-grandchildren.
That doesn't make you a mensch, Geraldo. That doesn't make you a mensch. What makes you a mensch is you raise great children and you do the right thing, okay?
How do you know? What has he not done the right thing? I'm just curious.
Let's talk about his relationship with
Adelson. Aside from being flamboyant.
Let's talk about his relationship with Adelson, his attack on Obama from the beginning. I mean, he has not done the right thing.
Well, he's not alone in attacking President Obama.
And I attack him also where I find he's wrong. But I felt in his attacks and where he went, he was wrong. He's a great businessman. He's a great. It doesn't make you a mensch, and it doesn't.
All right, I think I disagree on the menschhood. Whether or not he's electable, I may agree with you.
But can you picture him as president of this country?
You know, I never in my mind,
right,
as an old civil rights attorney, as a hard activist civil rights attorney, never expected the United States of America to elect a black man, not a 43-year-old black man who's a one-term senator.
But can you see him running this country?
I could see him running this country as a corporation. I think that that's his strong suit. His weakness is everything that you mentioned in between. It's the packaging, it's the reputation, the pugnaciousness.
Get Geraldo now. Get in on New York's most important stories. 866-GERALDO, 77 WABC.
Bill Evans' forecast. You told me I wasn't going to have any problems going home by boat. He's hitting lightning on the river.
Yeah, but like 4 o'clock this afternoon. Is that when you're going back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, then you're going to have problems.
Thank you. We're talking Donald Trump. Donald Trump's big announcement now just 23 minutes away. Our buddy, former police commissioner Bernard Carrick is going to come on board momentarily. I want to ask him about this whole thing about sex in prison. You know, Bernie knows it from the outside of the bars and the inside. Right now we're taking calls on Donald Trump and that big announcement. It goes first with Lou in Queens. Lou, what are you thinking about, buddy?
Hey, you know, how you doing, pal? You know, the thing is, we have to remember here, I don't agree with that last caller at all. At least there's a big, wide choice in the Republican Party, which is a lot better than the coronation that we're seeing in the Democratic Party. I mean,
let me ask you this, Lou. That's a good point, but remember what they did to Mitt Romney last time with all of those debates.
Yeah.
And Renz Priebus came on and said, we'll never do that again. We'll never have all those debates. It's like a circular firing squad. Do you think that the GOP risks, you know, killing itself, wounding whoever the eventual candidate is with all these prelims?
You know, you're so right. You know, I that's why I love talking to you. Yes, I think there's a big danger in there because, I mean, people are really going to start getting confused on what the message is here or who the messenger is, you know, and I think you're absolutely right about that. But on the other hand, I also think we ought to remember now that at this point, unless Jim Webb runs for the Democratic nomination.
He won't.
Hillary has no competition at all.
None at all, except for Bernie Sanders. He's a socialist. Not that there's anything wrong with being a socialist.
From a 95% white state.
Right. And a pot-smoking white state, yeah. Rich pot-smoking state. All right, Lou, I appreciate it. Thank you. Excellent call. All right, Commissioner Carrick's on the line. So, Bernie, what do you think of the Shore skank? I mean, everybody, I just love the way the Post does it. There's a million headlines like that. But first of all, how do prisoners have sex with prison employees? I mean, aren't they watched?
Well, they're supposed to be watched. You know, in this case, there's something that came out in the New York Post this morning that surprised me. Was that there was complaints made about this woman and one of these inmates already where she or he was moved as a result. That should have set off a flag, and somebody should have been looking at her as just in that alone.
The Daily News also has a good one. Jail gal did the nasty with both escapees. So she was busy in that tailor shop.
Yeah, but you know what, Geraldo? I don't give a damn what she did. You know, here's the bottom line. Everybody's missing the big picture.
Show me. The
security in that institution was absolutely horrendous. Horrendous.
All right, give us the nuts and bolts.
Okay. First of all, they're digging, they're banging, they're making their way through tunnels. Nobody heard them. This had to be going on for weeks. In fact, the DA said for weeks, today he said, for weeks, they were doing practice runs through these tunnels. You mean to tell me, for weeks, if not months, correctional staff never searched those cells? This is a maximum security institution. You mean to tell me from 10:30 p.m. at night to 5:30 in the morning when they were discovered missing, there was no individual head counts in those cells where somebody saw a living, breathing body? That is a major, major problem for the security of that.
So let me ask you, what happened? I mean, did they just become complacent just because they get the prisoners who are lifers virtually, they become such familiar fixtures that they just, you know, it's just my buddy, Matt, the murderer, or Sweat, the murderer, but he didn't murder here. He's a honorable prisoner. Why should I bother waking him up, shining that light in his face?
Listen, that's a really good term, because I want to know who the prison administrator was, the security or the program administrator that created an honor dorm. Think of the word. Where they allowed these guys, an escape guy, one of these guys escaped in the past.
Right, Matt, right.
To wear civilian clothes and have unescorted movement around some of the facility. One of these guys killed a cop, shot him 12 times. If you kill a cop, you can kill a CO. If you cut up a guy and cut him into pieces
the way Matt
in a river, like the way Matt did, you're a really, really bad guy. And they put them in an honor dorm. The culture of the security of that institution was abysmal. And I think the governor has to look at that and really, really, do something major, major about that institution and maybe the system if they find this stuff going on somewhere else.
God, we miss you on that job. I'm sorry to say. I mean, it's just you would be so good. You would clean that place up. You would have it humming. Again, and
listen, it's nothing that can't be done. You need leadership and accountability.
Well, we talk about accountability. What do you think about Andrew Cuomo's grandstanding going into the hole and everything? Now he came up empty. Shouldn't he be embarrassed?
I have to tell you, I give him credit for getting involved and going and trying to figure out what's going on. But, like, what was his staff thinking? You know, you're stepping all over a crime scene. Within minutes after it happened, come on, who was it? The police. I'm sure somebody around him was saying it. Why didn't you just tell him, "Hey, Gov, this is not the time. We're like a little busy here. Not to mention, we have to collect a whole bunch of evidence." And him being the attorney general, look, I personally like the guy, and I
like him too.
You know, but I have to tell you, that was. I don't know who let him do that, but that was absolutely the wrong thing to be doing.
Former police commissioner, former corrections commissioner Bernard Carrick, saying it like it is. I appreciate it, Bernie. Thank you very much.
Thanks, buddy.
Bye. All right, let me get a couple of more Trump calls in. Trump, the Trumpster, what is it now? 16 minutes away from Trump ending the suspense. I told him the one thing he asked me during The Apprentice, you think I should run for president? I said, yes, if you seriously mean it, you can't tease it, People have stopped listening to you. You've got to do it. Do it. Let it all hang out. Spend some money. Spend some time. Make an investment, personal investment. Otherwise, you got to drop the subject completely and forever. John, thank you very much for holding. What's going on, buddy?
Certainly. Good morning, sir. Yes, I want to say, first of all, that Scott Walker is my first choice as candidate.
Why, are you a union-busting guy?
Well, you know, I'm a member of two unions, as a matter of fact. I believe in unions, and I believe in management. I think once either one of them become too strong, you get a problem. So I like that balance, you know. But he's been a fighter, and he's persevered. So I like that about him. But I have to say, regarding Donald Trump, this guy, I'm warming up to him more and more. He's a street fighter, and I think maybe that's what the country needs right now, to restore some of the glory that we've been bereft of for so long in this country. And I think he would take Hillary Clinton apart in debates.
I think that is well said. I agree. And imagine how formidable, how much trouble he would be in a debate. And Hillary's so serious. I think, and he has that, you know, whenever you say something, I've got to take a break, but we got a doctor coming up on, that whole idea of what made Joyce Mitchell, the prison, matron there, become such a foil for these two murderers. I've got to take a break, but I'm telling you, that would be an interesting scene, wouldn't it? Trump versus Hillary.
We can pray for it.
46 minutes after 10. Dr. Jean Cirillo is a psychologist I've interviewed many times. She's does a lot on women's issues, on abuse, self-esteem, relationships. And Dr. Jean, I wanted to talk to you about Joyce Mitchell, this prison tailor matron who apparently was doing the dirty with the nasty with two different convicted killers and apparently or admittedly helped them escape. What's in it? Is that a self-esteem issue with her, or is she just horny?
Oh, well, you know, I've known quite a few people who worked in prisons and got so close to the prisoners, because what happens is when they really have such limited options, they're behind bars, they're dependent on her as a caretaker, they show their good side. And she might be attracted to the bad boys, and also she does have low self-esteem, doesn't feel so good about herself, and she knows that these men, because of their history, are not going to be judgmental towards her, and I think that's a big part of it.
But let me ask you this. I get that. I understand that. But isn't it also possible that she's just someone who likes sex, that she just, you know, couldn't get enough? I mean, they say that sometimes about men. Isn't it possible that she just put herself, it's like an alcoholic who works in a liquor store?
You mean she decided, of all places, rather than working in a strip club or somewhere else where she could meet possibly eligible men, even though she does have a husband, there are varying reports on how good the relationship is, but I mean, a men's prison is not where you see the best of men. It's where you see the worst of men.
So some women like bad boys, and the same way, the other way around?
Oh, yeah. I mean, you know, the saying is that wherever the bad boys are, the good girls aren't far behind.
Ooh.
And that might
As the
be
father it. Of three daughters, I don't like that.
Yes. It seems like you've softened quite a bit since you've had.
Don't go there. Don't go there, Dr. G. So should Joyce Mitchell be punished? I mean, as if she was a hardened criminal, or do you think she has an emotional defense?
No. I think that this is certainly she has guilt for what she's doing, and she's responsible if they're out there and they hurt anybody. But I think that it's seriously mitigated, let's say, legally by the psychological issues that she has, that sense of getting attached to the people, feeling a need to rescue them. Some women have like a Florence Nightingale complex that they're going to turn all the bad boys around, you know. She's somehow going to tame these murderers into being good for her. Also, we don't know if it's true that she wanted them to murder her husband. You know,
that's a whole other, would put a kind of a sociopathic aspect to otherwise a lusty story. Dr. Gene Cirillo, thank you very much. I appreciate you coming on.
It's a pleasure.
Okay, and thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, don't touch that dial. 77 WABC, here comes Trump.
This is a WABC News Bulletin.
Live in the WABC newsroom, watching as Ivanka Trump finishes introducing her father, who's about to come out on the stage, Trump Tower, of course, his own tower on Fifth Avenue, and announce that he's in the race, joining the 11 other Republicans who've already announced that he's running for the White House 2016. I think a lot of people will probably be surprised that he's actually going through with it, but we've been told he is. Told today that he's worth $9 billion. You can hear the music in the background.
The Trumpster has not yet made his appearance. He shall be emerging from the wings of Trump Tower momentarily. His elegant daughter doing the big announcement. Here he comes now, giving a thumbs up at the top of the escalator with Melania.
That's a Neil Young song in the background. Do you hear that?
Better choice of music than most. Certainly better than Governor Jeb Bush. Here he comes, Donald Trump. He's got his red power tie on, making his way down the escalator, a real royal kind of entrance. The press is gathered. I see my colleague Eric Schoen from Fox News in the foreground.
It's Keep on Rocking in the Free World. Appropriate song.
Love it. It's a crowded hall there. Have come to mock. I caution them that they do so at their peril. This is a substantive man who will make an immediate impact on this race. He'll be in the top tier, the top 10 candidates from minute one. And remember the Fox debate, the all-important Fox debate, followed by the all-important CNN debate. Here he is, Donald Trump.
So nice. Thank you very much. That's really nice. Thank you. It's great to be at Trump Tower. It's great to be in a wonderful city, New York. And it's an honor to have everybody here. This is beyond anybody's expectations. There's been no crowd like this. And I can tell you, some of the candidates, they went in, they didn't know the air conditioner didn't work. They sweated like dogs. They didn't know the room was too big because they didn't have anybody there. How are they going to beat ISIS? I don't think it's going to happen. Our country is in serious trouble. We don't have victories anymore. We used to have victories, but we don't have them. When was the last time anybody saw us beating, let's say, China in a trade deal? They kill us. I beat China all the time. All the time. When did we beat Japan at anything? They send their cars over by the millions. And what do we do? When was the last time you saw a Chevrolet in Tokyo? It doesn't exist, folks. They beat us all the time. When do we beat Mexico at the border? They're laughing at us, at our stupidity. And now they're beating us economically. They are not our friend, believe me. But they're killing us economically. The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems. Thank you. It's true. And these are the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But I speak to border guards, and they tell us what we're getting. And it only makes common sense. They're sending us not the right people. It's coming from more than Mexico. It's coming from all over South and Latin America, and it's coming probably from the Middle East. But we don't know, because we have no protection and we have no competence. We don't know what's happening. And it's got to stop. And it's got to stop fast. Islamic terrorism is eating up large portions of the Middle East. They've become rich. I'm in competition with them. They just built a hotel in Syria. Can you believe this? They built a hotel. When I have to build a hotel, I pay interest. They don't have to pay interest because they took the oil that when we left Iraq, I said we should have taken. So now ISIS has the oil. And what they don't have, Iran has. And in 19, and I will tell you this, and I said it very strongly, years ago, I said, and I love the military, and I want to have the strongest military that we've ever had, and we need it more now than ever, but I said, don't hit Iraq, because you're going to totally destabilize the Middle East. Iran is going to take over the Middle East. Iran and somebody else will get the oil. And it turned out that Iran is now taking over Iraq. Think of it. Iran is taking over Iraq. And they're taking it over big league. We spent $2 trillion in Iraq. $2 trillion. We lost thousands of lives. Thousands in Iraq. We have wounded soldiers who I love. I love. They're great. All over the place. Thousands and thousands of wounded soldiers. And we have nothing. We can't even go there. We have nothing. And every time we give Iraq equipment, the first time a bullet goes off in the air, they leave it. Last week I read 2,300 Humvees, these are big vehicles, were left behind for the enemy. 2,000, you would say maybe two, maybe four. 2,300 sophisticated vehicles, they ran, and the enemy took them. You're right. Last quarter, it was just announced, our gross domestic product, a sign of strength, right? But not for us. It was below zero. Who ever heard of this? It's never below zero. Our labor participation rate was the worst since 1978. But think of it, GDP below zero. Horrible labor participation rate. And our real unemployment is anywhere from 18 to 20%. Don't believe the 5.6. Don't believe it. That's right. A lot of people up there can't get jobs. They can't get jobs because there are no jobs. Because China has our jobs and Mexico has our jobs. They all have our jobs. But the real number is anywhere from 18 to 19 and maybe even 21%. And nobody talks about it because it's a statistic that's full of nonsense.
We want jobs now!
Our enemies are getting stronger and stronger by the day, and we as a country are getting weaker. Even our nuclear arsenal doesn't work. It came out recently. They have equipment that's 30 years old. They don't even know if it worked. And I thought it was horrible when it was broadcast on television, because boy, does that send signals to Putin and all of the other people that look at us and they say, that is a group of people and that is a nation that truly has no clue. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're doing. We have a disaster called the big lie, Obamacare. Obamacare. Yesterday it came out that costs are going for people up 29, 39, 49, and even 55%. And deductibles are through the roof. You have to get hit by a tractor, literally a tractor, to use it. Because the deductibles are so high, it's virtually useless. It is a disaster. And remember the $5 billion website. $5 billion we spent on a website. And to this day, it doesn't work. A $5 billion website. I have so many websites. I have them all over the place. I hire people. They do a website. It costs me $3. $5 billion website. Well, you need somebody, because politicians are all talk, no action. Nothing's going to get done. They will not bring us, believe me, to the promised land. They will not. As an example, I've been on the circuit making speeches, and I hear my fellow Republicans, and they're wonderful people. I like them. They all want me to support them. They don't know how to bring it about. They come up to my office. I'm meeting with three of them in the next week, and they don't know. Are you running? Are you not running? Could we have your support? What do we do? How do we do it? I like them. And I hear their speeches. And they don't talk jobs, and they don't talk China. When was the last time you heard China's killing us? They're devaluing their currency to a level that you wouldn't believe. It makes it impossible for our companies to compete. Impossible. They're killing us. But you don't hear that from anybody else. You don't hear it from anybody else. And I watch the speeches. Thank you. I watch the speeches of these people, and they say, the sun will rise, the moon will set, all sorts of wonderful things will happen. And people are saying, what's going on? I just want a job. Just get me a job. I don't need the rhetoric. I want a job. And that's what's happening. And it's going to get worse, because remember, Obamacare really kicks in 2016. Obama is going to be out playing golf. He might even be on one of my courses. I would invite him. I actually would say, I have the best courses in the world, so I'd say, you know what, if he wants to see, I have one right next to the White House, right on the Potomac. If he'd like to play, that's fine. In fact, I'd love him to leave early and play. That would be a very good thing. But Obamacare kicks in 2016, really big league. It is going to be amazingly destructive. Doctors are quitting. I have a friend who's a doctor, and he said to me the other day, Donald, I never saw anything like it. I have more accountants than I have nurses. It's a disaster. My patients are beside themselves. They had a plan that was good. They have no plan now. We have to repeal Obamacare, and it can be replaced. And it can be replaced with something much better for everybody.
Donald Trump, we think, about to announce for the White House. He hasn't pulled the trigger yet.
And for the government. And we can do it.
Very exuberant gallery there at Trump Tower.
I've watched the politicians. I've dealt with them all my life. If you can't make a good deal with a politician, then there's something wrong with you. You're certainly not very good. And that's what we have representing us. They will never make America great again. They don't even have a chance. They're controlled fully. They're controlled fully by the lobbyists, by the donors, and by the special interests, fully.
He's got that right.
They control them. Hey, I have lobbyists, I have to tell you. I have lobbyists that can produce anything for me. They're great. But you know what? It won't happen. It won't happen. Because we have to stop doing things for some people But for this country, it's destroying our country. We have to stop, and it has to stop now. Now, our country needs a truly great leader. And we need a truly great leader now. We need a leader that wrote the art of the deal. We need a leader that can bring back our jobs, can bring back our manufacturing, can bring back our military, can take care of our vets. Our vets have been abandoned. And we also need a cheerleader. You know, when President Obama was elected, I said, well, the one thing I think he'll do well, I think he'll be a great cheerleader for the country. I think he'd be a great spirit. He was vibrant. He was young. I really thought that he would be a great cheerleader. He's not a leader. That's true. You're right about that. But he wasn't a cheerleader. He's actually a negative force. He's been a negative force. He wasn't a cheerleader. He was the opposite. We need somebody that can take the brand of the United States and make it great again. It's not great again. We need somebody. We need somebody that literally will take this country and make it great again. We can do that. And I will tell you, I love my life. I have a wonderful family. They're saying, Dad, you're going to do something that's going to be so tough. You know, all of my life I've heard that a truly successful person, a really, really successful person, and even modestly successful, cannot run for public office. Just can't happen. And yet that's the kind of mindset that you need to make this country great again. So, ladies and gentlemen, I am officially running for President of the United States, and we are going to make our country great again.
He did it. Donald Trump has announced he is running for president.
It can happen. Our country has tremendous potential. We have tremendous people. We have people that aren't working. We have people that have no incentive to work. But they're going to have incentive to work. Because the greatest social program is a job. And they'll be proud, and they'll love it, and they'll make much more money than they would have ever made. And they'll be doing so well, and we're going to be thriving as a country. Thriving. It can happen. I will be the greatest jobs president that God ever created. I tell you that. I'll bring back our jobs from China, from Mexico, from Japan, from so many places. I'll bring back our jobs and I'll bring back our money. Right now, think of this. We owe China $1.3 trillion. We owe Japan more than that. So they come in, they take our jobs, they take our money, and then they loan us back the money, and we pay them an interest. And then the dollar goes up, so their deal's even better. How stupid are our leaders? How stupid are these politicians to allow this to happen? How stupid are they?
Unpolished, perhaps.
I'm going to tell you.
Powerful,
you.
No doubt.
I'm going to tell you a couple of stories about trade, because I'm totally against the trade bill for a number of reasons. Number one, the people negotiating it don't have a clue. Our president doesn't have a clue. He's a bad negotiator. He's the one that did Bergdahl. We get Bergdahl. They get five killer terrorists that everybody wanted over there. We get Bergdahl. We get a traitor. We get a no-good traitor. And they get the five people that they wanted for years. And those people are now back on the battlefield trying to kill us. That's the negotiator we have. Take a look at the deal he's making with Iran. He makes that deal, Israel maybe won't exist very long. It's a disaster, and we have to protect Israel. But so we need people. I'm a free trader. But the problem with free trade is you need really talented people to negotiate for you. If you don't have talented people, if you don't have great leadership, if you don't have people that know business, not just a political hack that got the job because he made a contribution to a campaign, which is the way all jobs just about are gotten, free trade is terrible. Free trade can be wonderful if you have smart people. But we have people that are stupid. We have people that aren't smart. And we have people that are controlled by special interests. And it's just not going to work. So here's a couple of stories. Happened recently. A friend of mine is a great manufacturer. And, you know, China comes over and they dump all their stuff. And I buy it. I buy it. Because, frankly, I have an obligation to buy it. Because they devalue their currency so brilliantly, they just did it recently, and nobody thought they could do it again. But with all our problems with Russia, with all our problems with everything, they got away with it again. And it's impossible for our people here to compete. So I want to tell you this story. A friend of mine is a great manufacturer, calls me up a few weeks ago. He's very upset. I said, what's your problem? He said, you know, I make great product. And I said, I know that because I buy the product. He said, I can't get it into China. They won't accept it. I sent a boat over and they actually sent it back. They talked about environmental. They talked about all sorts of crap that had nothing to do with it. I said, oh, wait a minute. That's terrible. Does anyone know this? He said, yeah, they do it all the time with other people. I said, they send it back. Yeah. So I finally got it over there and they charged me a big tariff. They're not supposed to be doing that. I told them. Now, they do charge a tariff on trucks. When we send trucks and other things over there, ask Boeing. They wanted Boeing secrets. They wanted their patents and all their secrets before they agreed to buy planes from Boeing. Hey, I'm not saying they're stupid. I like China. I sell apartment for I just sold an apartment for $15 million to somebody from China. Am I supposed to dislike them? I own a big chunk of the Bank of America building in 1290 Avenue of the Americas that I got from China in a war. Very valuable. I love China. The biggest bank in the world is from China. You know where their United States headquarters is located? In this building, in Trump Tower. I love China. People say, oh, you don't like China. No, I love them. But their leaders are much smarter than our leaders. And we can't sustain ourselves with that. There's too much. It's like take the New England Patriots and Tom Brady and have them play your high school football team. That's the difference between China's leaders and our leaders. They are ripping us. We are rebuilding China. We're rebuilding many countries. China, you go there now, roads, bridges, schools, you never saw anything like it. They have bridges that make the George Washington Bridge look like small potatoes. And they're all over the place. We have all the cards, but we don't know how to use them. We don't even know that we have the cards because our leaders don't understand the game. We could turn off that spigot by charging them tax until they behave properly. Now they're going militarily. They're building a military island in the middle of the South China Sea, a military island. Now, our country could never do that because we'd have to get environmental clearance. And the environmentalists wouldn't let our country. We would never build an ocean. They built
Trump
about
making
one year.
Made his announcement for president. Now he is leading.
They're building up their military.
I mean, it's so interesting. I hate to leave it. It's rough. It's unscripted. But I think it's very powerful and will clearly catapult him to the top tier of Republican candidates, totally upending the entire race for the GOP nomination. I'm not suggesting that he's going to get the nod. I think that's still a long shot. But this message will resonate, I think, with a significant percentage of the GOP, certainly the primary voter.
The headlines, the city's most pressing issues, Geraldo, today and every day, 77 WABC.
He said to me the other day, a reporter, very nice reporter, but Mr. Trump, you're not a nice person.
You don't need nice.
That's true, but actually I am. I think I am a nice person. People that know me like me. Does my family like me? I think so, right? Look at my family. I'm proud of my family. By the way, speaking of my family.
This is Donald Trump, Melania, after officially announcing Jared, that he is a candidate for the presidency, Donnie, of the United States.
Vanessa, Tiffany, Ivanka did a great job. Did she do a great job? Great. Jared, Laura, and Eric. I'm very proud of my family. They're a great family.
Mel in Sarasota, what do you think?
Yeah, Saratoga, Geraldo.
Saratoga, sorry, all right, New York, right.
Yeah, right, right.
My mom's in Sarasota.
You know, my point number one is the fellow from New Jersey, Barry. You know, myself being a black American, I see him as a self-deprecating Jew, because why would he want to put a guy like Obama ahead of everything else that he believes in? You know, as far as how he treated Benjamin Netanyahu, he wouldn't even sit down with the guy. Obama wouldn't. You know, so I mean, why would you want to, you know, and it doesn't make sense. Well, the third point that I also wanted to make on the economy, Rick Perry, look what he's done with Texas. And with Donald Trump being a man of his means, the way that he's done things to live the life, to have the lifestyle that he lives, I'm sure that he would look out for the rest of America and put America back on top. Fourth point, being a patriot, that he is. You can't say that he isn't. Manufacturing base here in the United States, the infrastructure needs to be improved. He sees that. I cannot see him not being the man for the job. If he loses the nomination for the Republican nomination for the candidacy for the presidency, I think they're cheating. They've got to be cheating.
Okay, Mel, I got it. Thank you. Thank you, Brad. I got plenty of others with lots of points. I appreciate your call. Frankie, what's up?
Good morning, Geraldo. How are you?
Good, man.
Beautiful. I have been touched, moved, and inspired by a man I listened to on your show a half an hour ago. Every single thing he said was dead right on. As a former Marine, year in Nam, he makes me feel proud that I worked for my country when I did. There's no doubt about it. I will support him. I would take one for him.
Okay, Frankie. Well said there. Okay, I got to move on. I got so many calls. Here's Mark in Edison. What do you think, Mark?
Well, the one thing I think about Trump, to me, he reminds me of Christie twice over. I'm not talking weight. I'm just talking, I'm afraid that he may have too thin a skin to be able to do things. I was listening to his speech, and I don't think that, you know, I agree with him, but at the same time, you can't turn around and say, you're stupid, you're a dope, and you're an idiot. I don't know if that necessarily...
Stupid is a harsh word. You didn't hear anybody else use that. That is a harsh word. He has to even have some of those rough edges. I agree. Thanks for the call. Here's Mike upstate. What's up, Mike?
Hey, Geraldo. Interesting speech from Trump. He's got to refine the message a little more and make wine out of a pile of grapes right now, but he's got a great delivery, and I think he'll do well and teach prosperity. My only concern is that Hillary may benefit from him. Trump is a larger-than-life person and will attract a lot of media attention, and I think he'll go far in this race. However, Hillary, you know, Trump will be like the magnet. A lot of the shrapnel that should be directed at her for all her
interesting point
might go towards him, you know, and it might be a benefit for her.
It's an interesting point, Mike. I appreciate the call. Thank you. Thank you very much. Here's Eddie and Plushy. What's up, Eddie?
Entertaining speech, interesting speech. One problem. He didn't say which party he was running in, Democrat or Republican. Did you hear that message?
Oh, no, he's running for Republican.
I didn't hear him say it. I didn't hear him say it.
I don't think he did, but he's definitely running as a Republican.
So this guy might be going independent. You don't know.
Well, I mean, he might go independent if he doesn't get the nomination.
That way he doesn't have to debate.
He certainly can.
Or nothing.
All right. All right, Eddie, thanks. There's other calls. Let's listen to more, a little more of Donald Trump as he makes his announcement.
And before I say it, I have to say this. I made it the old-fashioned way. It's real estate. You know, it's real estate. It's labor, and it's unions good and some bad, and lots of people that aren't in unions, and it's all over the place.
The headline of the Daily Beast,
all over the world.
Garish tastes,
and
awful hair,
assets.
Donald Trump is America.
Big accounting firm, one of the most highly respected. $9,240,000,000. And I have liabilities of about 500. That's long-term debt, very low interest rates. In fact, one of the big banks came to me and said, Donald, you don't have enough borrowings. Could we loan you $4 billion? I said, I don't need it. I don't want it. And I've been there. I don't want it. But in 2 seconds, they give me whatever I wanted. So I have a total net worth, and now with the increase, it'll be well over $10 billion. But here, a total net worth of $8 billion. Net worth, not assets, not liability. A net worth, after all debt, after all expenses, the greatest assets, Trump Tower, 1290 Avenue of the Americas, Bank of America building in San Francisco, 40 Wall Street, sometimes referred to as the Trump building, right opposite the New York City. Many other places, all over the world. So the total is $8,737,540,000.
That's his net worth.
Now,
gigantic, more than many countries.
I'm not doing that to brag, because you know what? I don't have to brag. I don't have to, believe it or not.
David in the Bronx.
I'm doing that to say.
Vaya, Boricua.
Boricua, dime.
Listen, I think he kind of already started losing the Hispanic vote when he started saying the Mexicans and Hispanics.
I think it was really very harsh. I think that I don't like that at all.
That's crazy. I think he kind of screwed up on that.
I think he could have been so, you know, I understand that a lot of people are very concerned about the border, and he tied into that. But to talk about all Latino immigrants in the context of drugs, crime, and rapists sounds a lot like Ann Coulter, not like a reasonable statesman. I think they could have been a lot better, and I think that that of all the things that he said today, I mean, aside from irking me personally,
exactly.
I think that will give
him. That's why I said vaya boricua.
Yeah, that's. I think will give him the hardest, obstacle to overcome. I appreciate it, and thank you for pointing that out.
But I agree with everything else he said.
He's saying a lot of things that a lot of people are agreeing with. Certainly, the callers to this program right now, he's still speaking, and all extemporaneous. That's, I think, what is interesting when you think about how canned so many politicians are. Here's Jack in Brooklyn. What are you thinking, Jack?
Hey, good morning, Ronaldo. What am I thinking? Well, I have to. I'll preface it to say I'm a Democrat, leaning to the left, but I loved everything he said. I'll tell you what a great ticket would be: Bernie Sanders as his vice president, because opposites attract, and they really have the same goal in mind. You've said it before. Capitalism has to have a little socialism in it. And I think that's what he's talking about. Union's good. Health care good. What else could I say?
All right. Got it.
You know?
It is so annoying. I wish somebody would. He's got something in the corner of his mouth that a lot of people are writing and tweeting about. You know, sometimes you speak emotionally and you get a little bit of a...
like a spittle.
Spittle in the very, very corner of your mouth. And then after you notice it, your eyes are drawn to it in a way that is very unsettling. But I think substantively, I think in terms of the drama of the moment, in terms of the emotion, he will be severely mocked by the mainstream, I believe, tomorrow.
He already is. I'm watching on Twitter.
You're watching on Twitter. He's going to get it, but... this is the Republican primary we're talking about. You're talking about Iowa, and you're talking about New Hampshire, and then South Carolina. This is going to be a powerful force going into the primary. He's going to, you know how they talk about Uber being a disruptor? This man is a disruptor now in this process. It is interesting to watch. I don't remember seeing anything. Ross Perot is the closest in terms of in 1992. I remember what Ross Perot, the Texas billionaire, did. He totally stole the election from George H.W. Bush, gave it to Bill Clinton because he felt so disenchanted with the mainstream Republicans. But I'll take a couple more calls. We'll come back right after this, 47 minutes after 11 o'clock.
Geraldo, the truth behind the story for New York. Live, local, on it, 77 WABC, where New York comes to talk.
Just listening to the extraordinary announcement by Donald Trump is JR in New York. What's up, JR?
Geraldo, I haven't felt this invigorated and patriotic since George Bush, right after 9/11, said, we're going to get the guys that knocked down those towers. We need to go back. America needs to go back to the days when we were not politically correct. We said what was on our mind, and we were dedicated and patriotic to the country. That's the way we need to go back, and everybody will feel good. And by the way, I'm Hispanic, too, and I know Donald Trump wasn't referring to people like me. I know who he was referring to. I'm a hardworking, patriotic Hispanic in this country, and I'm proud to be both.
What about his rough edges, though, JR? You know he didn't have a speech written out, a little rambling.
Geraldo, we've become so afraid to speak and say our mind. And if you remember back in the 50s and the 60s, that's what made this country great. We had people that were able to speak our mind and say what was on our mind. And it was all good. It was all good because we're all proud to be Americans. Now we have to be afraid about every little damn thing we're going to say about somebody or some country or some religion or this or that. We got to go back to the good old days. And Donald Trump gave us, he's got my vote. I'm so proud to be an American.
All right, JR. I thought that he made a lot of points that will resonate. And I think people mock him at their peril, as I said, when the program opened at 10 o'clock, Noam Layden.
Yeah, but let's talk about a pathway to the primary season. You start with Iowa, New Hampshire, and South Carolina. Let's realistically talk about how he plays there. He's very brash. He wins in New York, no doubt. He wins in New Jersey and Connecticut. But I think in those places, he does not play well.
I am not sure about that. I don't pretend to be an expert in terms of the political process. I think that you're correct to point to the process. There is a process. Iowa is the caucus system. And people might be invigorated by him there. I mean, Scott Walker will probably win Iowa. He's from Iowa originally, the Wisconsin governor. I think he'll play well in Iowa. What about New Hampshire? Trump has done a lot in New Hampshire already. He could pull off a big surprise. I mean, he is a big blinding light. And I think that big blinding light will obscure many less charismatic candidates. I mean, what about Chris Christie? Who? Now.
I think you're right about that.
All right, we'll check this out. He will withstand the withering mockery, but I think that Donald Trump will make a lot of waves. Stand by.